so gloomy? Try
CKUT 90.3 FM.
It worked.
I slept too little and drank too much. Anyway, get out of bed like this. Oh, Christ.
Rise and shine with CKUT 90.3 FM.
All right, hello, Mia.
Hi.
So today we have Mia LaChapelle, or Miaya, who is an up-and-coming indie pop artist in Montreal, also a recently graduated McGill student.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about that?
I'm feeling pretty great. I actually did my whole degree, like, online. So a little bit bittersweet, like, I didn't get the opportunity to experience, like, campus life. But overall, I'm just glad to be done with my undergrad because I'm not a big fan of school.
What's next for you as an artist, as a person?
Right now, I kind of want to focus on music more because I want a music career. But I also, like, I need money to live. So I'll be, like, working full time and then doing music as on the side, I guess. But I think it'll be easier than, like, when I was at school, because at school, like, I have assignments to do and everything. At work, it's just, like, I work, and once that's done, like, I can focus on whatever afterwards.
Right. So Mia has said before that she became interested in producing music during November 2020, so little under 2 years ago, and that was because of the COVID-19 pandemic. So do you want to talk about how that process came about?
Yeah. So I guess, like, since I was young, I always had this dream I want to be a singer. But I always kind of, like, it's like, oh, that's kind of unrealistic, you know? It's like, oh, I want to be an actor. I want to be a singer. So I kind of just, like, push it away. I was like, I should just get, like, a normal adult career. But then during COVID, I was just stuck in my room the whole time, and I was doing my degree online. And I was just thinking to myself, like, okay, what happened if I just tried, you know? Because I had all this free time being at home anyways. And then plus, like, my job had closed because of COVID. So, like, I was just at home doing nothing when I wasn't in school. Yeah, I gave myself a challenge, like a 1 month challenge. I was like, okay, let me try to make a song in a month. And that was, like, the first one, Milk Is. Started that in November, released it, like, on December 3rd. And yeah, after that, like, I just enjoyed the process of making music so much that I decided to, like, just try to make it happen, you know, like, might as well try, because or else I feel like I'd regret it in the future if I just didn't try to pursue, like, something musical.
For sure. So do you want to talk a little bit about your musical background? So, like, where did you get your musical training, or how you became interested in music as a kid?
Well, basically, I have none. Like, I don't play any instrument. I think I just liked singing since I was young. But I never got, like, any actual training. Although, like, I would like to get, like, singing lessons and stuff. Mm-hmm. Just to get, like, better singing and breathing techniques. But, yeah, I don't have, like, any musical background, really.
Well, Mia, of course, has a lovely voice. And we'll be listening to one of her songs later in this interview. So I don't need to attest to that at all. All right. So when you said that you wanted to pursue a career in music since you were a child, but then you thought that you needed a practical career option, was that mostly of an internal obstacle or external, you feel like?
No, it was definitely more internal. Like, it's not like my parents never really pressured me into, like, following, like, a traditional path or anything like that. It was more internal. I was just like, oh, so many people try to make it in the music industry and stuff like that. I'm like, why would I make it, you know? So, like, I just never tried. But yeah, then COVID, obviously, and I was like, oh, I have too much time on my hands to not, like, try this, you know?
So during this 1 month challenge you talked about, how exactly did you go about teaching yourself how to make music?
So the first thing I did was I had, like, a keyboard, and I was like, okay, I don't know how to play piano and stuff like that. So, like, I watched YouTube tutorials, like, just, like, the basics of music theory to be able to, like, build chords and stuff like that. So I studied that for, I don't know, maybe just a week or two, really, like, drilling it into my head. And once I had the basics down, I really just, like, had a sound in my head. It's like I'd have, like, a particular sound, and then I'd just, like, play around on the keyboard until like what I played on the keyboard matched the sound in my head. So like it takes way longer, you know, like if I knew piano, I would just be able to do it automatically, but it takes way longer. So I would like to learn piano. That's something I want to learn, but the rest is all done like basically electronically, like on from my piano, from my keyboard.
Right. But I mean, even people who have musical training, not everyone has perfect pitch. Are there people with relative pitch who can identify kind of where notes fall in relation to each other? So when you come up with a song, what is that process like? So do you start with words, melodies? Where does inspiration hit you from?
So I always start with like making the instrumental completely. Like I find like I can't write lyrics before I have the instrumental down, because like I want to know like the vibe and what my lyrics are going to be about. Right. So it's usually like I come up with some kind of hook in my head, like the melody, the melodic hook in my head. And then I usually like record it on my phone where I'll just be like, la, 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 you know, and then I'll find it on the keyboard and I'll write down like all the notes in my notebook. And then after that, I'll build like, let's say like a set, like a chord progression around that hook. After that, like I'll add all the other stuff. So like I want to add like guitar, my beat, everything like that. And then the very, very last step is like I'll write the lyrics.
So you feel like the music takes a higher level of importance, or they all come together and have equal level of importance for you?
I think like in the end, they kind of have equal level, but like the instrumental is what takes me the longest. Like I find it easier to write lyrics because like I'll just listen to it. I'll get a vibe and it'll just like words will flow and I'll figure stuff out. But the instrumental, again, because like I don't really have a super musical background, it takes me quite a while to do all that. And then I don't really know how to like mix or master either. So like I have to watch tutorials about that and then actually doing it. And it's hard to get it to sound really professional, but you know, I try my best.
Because you said that you use GarageBand to produce music.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lesson in resourcefulness, basically. So what tools did you start out with? You started off with obviously your voice, a notebook, laptop, keyboard.
Yeah, I started out with that. At first, like I didn't have a MacBook, so like I didn't use GarageBand, for example, for my first song. I was using like I think it was called BandLab. It was like pretty good for getting the basics down, but I realized like it takes kind of a lot of processing power. So after that, I actually was like, okay, I'm going to be serious about this. So I bought a MacBook. And I was like, this is going to be like my first investment into my music career. Still, I still work with just like my keyboard, and I have a mic that was gifted to me by Yu Chang.
Mutual friend of ours.
Yes. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Again, resourcefulness. So do you have a favorite part of the process, or is it just...
I think it's like after I finish like the chord progression and the hook, and then I start adding like a couple of more instruments and I see it kind of coming together. That's when I get the most excited, because I'll be like, oh, okay, this is starting to sound kind of good, you know? So yeah, I think that's my favorite part, like just hearing it start to come together.
Right, because Mia's written several original songs now.
I have three.
Right, that's
yeah,
several.
But I'm working on some others. Hopefully I'll be able to release some more songs more consistently now that I'm out of school.
So you've described your musical style as chill and soft, and you describe it as also indie pop. What do you want listeners to feel when they hear your music? What are you trying to convey?
I guess I just want them to feel connected to the music. Like, let's say, for example, you don't really like relate to the lyrics. I want you to be able to listen to the melody and be like, you know, like sitting in your feelings kind of thing. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's because I really do love like kind of lo-fi and indie pop. Like, indie makes me feel very nice, like gives me kind of like magical feeling. So I guess I hope that my music can kind of convey that to a certain extent.
Because Mia writes also a lot about love, relationships.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, that's what I started at first. I always thought like it was kind of, you know, you listen to songs on the radio and I was like, why are they always about, you know, love and stuff? But I started writing and I'm like, oh, that's such a topic that everyone can like relate to a certain extent. So I get it now. I get why there's so many love songs.
And you also talked about wanting people to connect to the music. Although I'm sure you want to explore other topics as well.
For sure. Yeah, I want to explore so many more musical styles. It's like right now, it's like when I make a song, I have like the vibe I want for it. But then for some reason, it still like reverts back to like this chill beat. Yeah, I'm going to have to figure out a way out of that. Yeah, for now, I'm okay with that. But I definitely want to explore some other musical genres.
For sure. So, because you've said also before that you want to branch into different genres. So do you have any in mind, or what are some things that you listen to that inspire you?
I listen to a lot of like Korean R&B. And that is like the type of music I want to make, like primarily. Well, I have to get way more experience in that and like learn a lot more about how to make R&B style music. R&B is probably the top musical style I want to explore. Aside from that, I did want to try to make like a kind of like trap type like hype song. It's not like super, I don't know. I wonder how I'm going to do with that, because it's like the opposite of the kind of music I'm making right now. But I think it would be fun.
Sure. And I love that you're up for a challenge as well. So your musical influences are Korean R&B mostly, you said.
Exactly.
So who are some artists perhaps that you gel with, that resonate with you?
So definitely like my favorite artist ever is DPR Live. So he's a Korean-American R&B artist. Well, R&B pop, I guess. Other ones like Cold and BB. All like these kind of, I mean, they were lesser known. Now they're getting quite known, but you're like kind of like independent type artists that just make super awesome music. Gets me in my feelings, you know, that's the type of music I want to make.
So speaking of other artists, who are some people that you want to collaborate with? Because you've already collaborated on Bittersweet, your most recent song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like the Bittersweet one. That was really fun. That was like my first collab ever. It was a fun learning experience. And since then, I also collabed on a song that's actually coming out on on May 27th. And that was with Lil Waterboy and Ted Park. So that I'm really excited about. And it's like every time I collab with someone new, I get to see like their process, how they make music. And usually they're like, they're better than me. So like, I really like watching them make it. And I'm like, oh, like I never, you know, all these things I didn't know that now I know. So I really like that. And I don't really have like anyone in particular that I like really want to collab with. I just want to collab because like it's a great learning opportunity and it's really fun.
Because music is also a conversation,
yeah,
between the creator, the listener, and then perhaps multiple creators. So can you tell us about the name of this song that is coming out May 27th, or is it hush hush right now?
No, I can't release the name. Yeah, okay. It's called City Blues, but like blues is like written like bleu, like in French. Like, yeah, it's coming out with a music video as well, so I'm super excited to see it release and just see the final product and see how people are going to respond to it.
Right, because you've also already dabbled in music videos as well.
Yeah, for I Love It, my second song. Yeah, I made like a video montage of me and my friends just listening to the song and vibing to it. That was really fun. And I love to watch it because like I can see my friends, and like my friends are my biggest supporters, you know, so it's really cute to see them on the video.
What is the role of a music video for you in the whole listening experience or enjoyment experience?
Aside from just like, it's fun to make a music video, I think it's just like an extra thing that people can identify with or relate to or watch, you know. Like if I just have, you know, some of my songs, it's just a song on Spotify, so they can only like stream it on there. If you have the music video, then it's like if the music video is good, they can see people dancing in it or something like that, you know. It gets them more maybe interested in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think it's just like an extra,
appeals to more senses.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's something you'll also want to continue to make in the future.
For sure. Yeah, I definitely want to make more music videos, but it's hard. It's so much work too, like,
right.
And like I don't have that many concepts in mind, and I have to get someone to like film me, but I feel kind of awkward on camera, so like I try to film myself, but you know, there's like a very limited amount of things I can do with just self-filming.
For sure. Yeah. So does wanting to collaborate with other artists extend to also non-musicians, like perhaps filmmakers for making music videos, or people who like to write for lyrics?
Yeah, for sure. Like collabing on the last one for City Blues, like we filmed the video and everything, and I really saw the process, like, or how many people it takes to bring that all together. You know, you have like the video editors and the videographers. it was super fun to see that, and it made me think like, oh, I should definitely like look into that for like any future music videos, like to get it done kind of more professionally instead of like trying to do everything myself.
All right, so what would you say is the song of yours that you're proudest of?
Oh, that's a hard one.
Because you feel about them all in different ways.
Yeah, so far I only have 3 of my own released. It's hard to know because, like, you know, the first one is my first one.
Right.
So, and like, I feel like very fond of that one. But then I Love It, the second one, like, has the music video, and it's the only one with a music video. But then the third one, the production is the best on it because, like, I learned a lot of stuff up until that point. So I feel like it sounds better. I don't know if I can choose.
Sure. They're like your children. I think the key word there was you said that there are 3 of them, which are, which you said, my own.
Yeah, I can't choose, to be honest. I'm like leaning more towards maybe like Artificial Feelings. I feel like it sounds much better.
Well, sure. So when you tell other people that you make music, what kind of is the song that you direct them to first?
I direct them to Artificial Feelings because, like, yeah, it does sound the best.
And when you say better, where would you say is that improvement most obvious?
I guess, like, the production of the instrumental is much better. Like, I added a lot more elements to the instrumental than I did for the first two. Like, before, for my first two songs, like, I didn't know shit about mixing, to be honest. I still don't really know. But the third one, like, I knew a little bit more, like... Mm-hmm. I learned about, like, panning, like, you can pan the sound, like, from left to right. And,
right.
Like, where the instruments should sit in the mix and where your vocals should sit. And, like, so, like, I tried to do my best to make it sound much better. And then, like, in my first two, like, the vocals were kind of, like, way more quiet than the instrumental. So I tried to, like, equalize that in the third one. Yeah, it just overall, I think it sounds like the quality of the song is just better. Like, it sounds less amateur, I guess, than the first two.
Right, but of course, amateur, actually, the word comes from the Latin roots for to love something.
Oh, wow.
Because you don't get paid for it necessarily, but you love to do it, so yeah. That's why you keep doing it.
Yeah.
So no shame in being an amateur. But that's so impressive also, just that you learned all these things with no formal musical training, but just through tutorials, really.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, and with free resources. Okay, I think this is actually a perfect moment to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to listen to the song that Mia says she is most proud of, Artificial Feelings.
Hey, inu hatik kei, dunga sukatit ukiu taktunut heilauritit. Join us and traverse on the expansive tundra with our show, Tupituhak, a one-of-a-kind circus production brought to you by Tupic Act. Tupic Act is a non-profit organization comprised of young indie artists telling our stories through contemporary circus. And we're inviting you to watch Tupituhak this Sunday, June 19th at the McCord Museum. You can't miss this show as you can purchase tickets for 11 a.m., 1:30, and 3 p.m. You heard that right. 3 shows in one day. Indigenous people have free admission. Tupituhak, a thrilling story of intergenerational reconnection and newfound powers. Become enveloped as we transmit our stories right onto the stage. Merging reality and the magic of the tundra, this is a collaboration with CKUT and we can't wait to see you there.
Music and anti-fascism. Reflections on the past and possibilities in the present. Join us for a concert July 7th featuring Egyptian Cotton Orchestra, Montreal Free Jazz, Kim Dong Wong, free improv based on Korean traditional music, Skunk Heaven, New York City Noise on July 7th, 2022 at 9 p.m. La Sala Rosa, 4848 Saint Laurent. For more information on the concert and conference on protest music and anti-fascism, music and antifascism.wordpress.com. This concert, with generous support from Suoni Peri Popolo and Popolo Press. This is a CKUT Radio co-presentation.
Thanks to everyone who donated to CKUT's annual funding drive. Your generosity truly helps keep our engines burning. It's never too late to donate. You can do so by calling 514-907-9└. 9424 or going to ckut.ca and hit the green Make a Pledge button at the top. All paid entries will be entered into a grand prize draw. You can pay your pledge and pick up your gift weekdays between 11 to 6 p.m. or by appointments. Call 514-907-9424. Thank you.
Right now, so we're back again with Mia or Mia La Chapelle. When we left off, we said we were going to talk about the song that Mia is proudest of, titled Artificial Feelings. So we're going to play that for you, our listeners, in a moment. But first, I wanted to ask Mia, what are some of the things you want listeners to notice in this song?
That's a good question.
Just so they have that in mind before we play it.
I think for Artificial Feelings, like I was trying hard to go for a kind of like dreamy in your feelings vibe. So I think that's what I want them to notice, I guess. Just like, I don't know, vibe with it, you know? There's nothing in particular, like, if you can't relate with the lyrics, just focus on the melody.
Do you have any, like, production bits that you're really proud of that you want people to...
Oh, this is kind of funny, but, like,
sure.
When I was making it, that was the first time I discovered, like, what an arpeggiator is.
So tell us, like, about that. What is that?
So, like, basically, like, in the chorus of the song, like... the key of your song and whatever, like, your chord progression is, like, it will, like, cycle through notes, like, in a progression, like, through notes of your like, chord progression.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Common
arpeggios, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, would be major or minor.
And, like, I thought at first when I hear that in songs that it was, like, them manually, like, inputting all the notes, right? But turns out there is, like, a function, you know? You can just put, like, in the instrument section on your DAW, whatever you're working with, there's, like, arpeggiator section. And it's, like, it just creates it for you. And that was the first time I discovered that, and I thought it was so cool. So, like, I put that in the chorus, and I feel like it really gives it, like, a dreamy vibe. So,
right.
Like, yeah, I'd want them to listen to that, you know, notice that.
So listen in during the chorus.
Exactly.
Okay, perfect. So let's play the song right now.
All right.
I really, really
All right, then. So that was Artificial Feelings by Miaya. A few questions about this song now that we've listened to it. So the arpeggiator part was the thing that was in the chorus.
Yeah.
Slightly higher pitched. And it sounded like a harp to me.
It wasn't a harp. It was just like a...
No, but it has a harp-like
it
quality.
It had a harp feeling. Yeah, yeah.
Because it passes through the notes very quickly.
Exactly. Like yeah, it does. Yeah, it's like a harp. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So dreamy vibe indeed. So how much post-production do you do on your songs? So like how much of the overall process is taken up by editing?
Oh boy, like usually I'll like put every single like instrument aspect I want in it, like all the instruments I want, all the sounds. After that, I'll start like, I guess like the post-production, like mixing, and that'll just be like sound automation, like making sure like, you know, this instrument is not too loud or too low. And then also panning. And then it's mostly just like, I just listen to it over and over and over. And I'm like, oh, this, I want this to be heard more. I want this to be heard less. I want this to sit like more in the center of the mix rather than be panned.
Right. Like, so very instinctual of a process.
Yeah. Because like, I don't know if there's like a technical aspect to it, like a kind of,
for sure,
I guess like loose formula of like where you want certain instruments to be in the mix when it comes to like panning, for example. But I think most of the time it's just like the producer will just listen to it and just know what kind of sound like he's going for, mm-hmm, and will just decide what he thinks sounds best.
Coming back to Artificial Feelings. So you said you didn't know exactly what you wanted your listeners to feel while listening. But do you have an image in mind of what they're doing while they're listening? Are they dancing? Are they lying back and relaxing?
Definitely, like, I don't know, the closest example I can find is like, you know, you're like on the bus looking out the window and maybe it's like raining or something, you know, like really, really in your feelings, because it's not like it's not like an upbeat song. It's not like a like happy song, you know, it's more, I don't know, like a little bit melancholic type.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how autobiographical would you say your work is? Or is it just an experiment, a way of imagining yourself in someone else's shoes?
Like, are you referring to like the lyrics
or just the whole song and the emotions conveyed?
No, the emotion conveys are definitely like what I'm feeling either like at that time or at some point in my life. I'd say the instrumental part, like that's definitely like representative of like my like internal feelings. I think that's why it ends up being like every time I'm trying to make like a different genre of song, it always reverts back, like while I'm producing it, it always reverts back to like indie pop, lo-fi kind of chill type music, because I think that's just like my usual vibe of like, mm-hmm, just
sure
in general. And as for the lyrics, that I'd say it's like very loose. Like the overall vibe of the lyrics will be like specific to me or something that happened to me, but at the same time, it's like I'll be writing and I'll be like, okay, this would rhyme better, this would sound better. So it's not, so it's like very loosely based on my experiences, I'd say, the lyrics anyway.
Sure thing. So what right now are your goals as an artist? Is it getting exposure? Is it performing more, creating new music?
So one is like definitely creating more music. Up until now, I was like doing my undergrad, so I don't know, I was super busy with that. And then I
in psychology at McGill.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I was like, after I do all my school stuff and then I also had a part-time job, it's like after that, I'm kind of like, I have no energy left, you know? So I wouldn't be working on music that much. But I always told myself like, okay, as soon as I graduate, I'm going to focus more on music. So that's like my number one, my first goal is focus on that, spend a lot more time on that and like release way more music. Because like so far, like, yeah, as I said, only three, like, of my own songs. So I definitely want to release way more than that. And then two is, like, exposure. Especially, like, I want to work on, like, social media exposure because I'm not super good at that.
So you want to produce more songs and push yourself to create more and just keep moving forward, essentially.
Yeah, I want to be always, like, on the upward trend, you know? Mm-hmm. If it's, like, going downhill, that's bad. If it's static, okay, it's okay. But, like, I want, like, an overall upward trend.
Right. So what are some ways that you anticipate seeking exposure?
So far, definitely collabing with other artists. It's like, oh, like, I'm collabing with them. And then oh, they know like this producer, and then, oh, we listen, like either he listens to my stuff or I listen to his stuff, and it's like, oh, actually maybe we could make something good together. Going to different like musical events, like for the
right. So tell us about some of the events that you've played at so far.
So like the first like important one for me was like McGill Casco,
which stands for,
okay, yes, so Casco stands for Commerce and Administration Student Charity Organization. So yeah, it was a charity fundraiser event, and the proceeds went to the Montreal Children's Hospital. That one was, it was online, so it was during COVID, so I didn't get to like connect that much with like the other artists that were performing or the people who were doing the fashion show, because there was also like a fashion show, because it was all online. But it was still like really fun. It worked out well, you know, like playing the instrumental over like Zoom and stuff, because it was done over Zoom. That was the first one. But then like the following year, was this year? Yeah, it was this year in March, I believe. They held again the Casco event, but it was in person. And that was like way more fun. First of all, it was like when stuff was starting to reopen. So like that was already exciting on its own. Mm-hmm. But then I got to see like all of the other artists perform, and I got to talk with them, socializing with everyone there. That was like good exposure, and that was making good connections. Mm-hmm. So that was nice. Aside from that, I performed a collab with Lil Waterboy at his like personal concert. That was also super fun. And through him, like through collabing with him, I met a lot of like the other people in his music collective. Oh yeah, and then I performed at the Vietnamese Concordia Student Association year-end party. That was really fun as well to meet, you know, some DJs and the other artists performing there. And all my friends were there to support me. That was really fun. We got to dress all fancy. It was right. Just impressed, you know. And then obviously the one I'm looking forward to is the Uncovered one, yeah.
MTL Uncovered, taking place Sunday, May 29th, so this month. So what has been the most rewarding performance experience you've had so far?
I think the most rewarding one was the Concordia Student Association one.
Sure, talk about that.
Because like I actually like got to do all of my songs, so it wasn't just like one, like at Casco and stuff I only did one of, I did a couple, but like one was a cover. So like I felt like the VCA one, so the Concordia one, was really an opportunity for me to like really be an artist, because like I had like my own set, you know. So I got to perform my three songs that I released, and I performed one that's unreleased. I'll be releasing like I think next month, and it was also the first time I was paid, so that was nice, you know.
Right.
Yes, I think that was the one that was like, how do I say, like influential to me. I felt like I'm like, oh, this feels like I'm actually like have some type of like feeling of I'm established.
Right. So you had an identity.
Yeah, exactly.
As an artist.
Yeah.
That you had a certain kind of sound or a certain kind of personality, your artist personality.
Yeah. Well, my artist personality. I always think about that, my artist personality. Because I'm always like, you know, people have like their personas, right? I always think to myself, like, should I? I don't know.
Something to experiment. That's,
yeah, I'm going to think about it, yeah.
Something actually also to be creative with, potentially.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
Right. So actually, coming back to your performances, something really interesting about your career trajectory is that you started during COVID. You started making music because of COVID. What was it like to make music from alone in your bedroom? Also to have these online performances. What was that whole remote experience like as an artist?
It was fine. Like, obviously at that point, like I had started during COVID. So like, I didn't know what it was like to do it without COVID. I couldn't really compare it to anything. So it was pretty good. You know, as I said, because my job had closed, I had a lot of like free time, even when I was at school. And then I was home all the time because everything was closed. So like I had a lot more time to spend on music at that time. But obviously like it comes with like less exposure, less opportunities, less performances because, you know, there's nowhere to perform. I think like once things started to open back up, there was a lot more opportunities, but there's also like less time because like, okay, so now I go to my job. I have to go here and there. And like independent artist scene is nice. I really like it. It's like also like a very like young people city. So I see like just like, you know, young independent artists of all kind, like not just music, like just hustling and trying to make it happen. And mm-hmm. I really like that. They're just putting themselves out there, you know, and they're being authentic and they're doing what makes them happy and they're pursuing their passion. And once things started to open up, I really started seeing that. I saw how many people were like pursuing something artistic, and it was just super nice to see. And it makes me feel like proud to be a part of that.
Right. So that kind of solidarity then is energizing.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, how does living in Montreal influence your work as an artist? Or does it? Do your influences come from somewhere else?
It definitely does influence it. Like, definitely the whole like solidarity feeling with seeing other musicians and other artists hustling, that definitely contributes to it. I'm like, okay, yeah, I am, you know, it motivates me to do mm-hmm. the same. And then aside from that, like just the amount of opportunities, you know, like I grew up in Gatineau, which is like, it's not much going on there.
Gatineau, Quebec.
Yeah. There's not much going on. So I wouldn't have had like nearly the same amount of opportunities here. I don't think I would have much opportunities there, to be honest. So I think like you kind of, if you're trying to make it happen as an artist, you kind of have to go to at least like the nearest like big city. Uh-huh.
So it just worked out that you came here for university and then you decided to try to make things happen with music?
Yeah, so I'm really glad like I'm in Montreal and I'm trying to make it happen here, yeah.
And your plan is to stay here and try to make it happen?
Yeah, for an undetermined amount of time.
Right.
I don't have any plans to like move anywhere. So yeah, for now, yeah, in Montreal.
What do you think it means to you to be an independent artist? You mentioned earlier that a lot of indie music feels magical to you. You've also talked about the fact that there are a lot of people, young people, hustling, trying to make things happen, trying to have their voices being heard. So again, you describe yourself as an indie artist, and what does that mean?
For me, I think that means like, it's about like authenticity. Independent artists who are like hustling and doing stuff themselves, and like their work really expresses like their artistic identity, and like it's really authentic to them. Like I'm saying it versus like, I don't want to sound like a dick, like dickish, but like if you listen to like a lot of like mainstream pop, it's like I feel like there's less feeling there. There's less like you can feel the passion than when you listen to like indie music, for example.
Okay, yeah.
And I think that's why when I listen to indie music, like I get that magical feeling, because like I can hear the artist and I can kind of feel the artist's passion and stuff like that.
It feels more direct. Well, I think a truth about pop music, especially with those big record labels and all that, is that there are more people working on the same piece. They're more like board meetings or whatnot, they all have an input on what comes out. And so it's not as directly one person's vision.
Yeah, for sure. Also, like, you know, mainstream pop, like, there is a sound, you know, that will be popular with like the general population, and that's what sells, and that's great. But I like to listen to like, you know, an artist who like keeps doing their thing, even though maybe it's not like, you know, like a lot of people won't like it, for example. Like everybody has different tastes, but like they still remain like true to themselves.
Mm-hmm, it's not necessarily marketable, lucrative.
Yeah, exactly. I like to hear that.
Because you also want your work to feel emotional and personal and for people to feel a connection. You said you want people to vibe with it.
Yeah, and that's like one thing I struggle with, or I think about a lot, is like how to be authentic, or how to like remain authentic.
Remain authentic despite what?
Just like, I don't know, like it comes back to the whole like artist persona thing.
Sure.
That I think about a lot, and it's just like what I want people, when people listen to my music and stuff, like I want them to first of all recognize like, okay, like this is authentic to like Miaya, you know, like I don't know, I guess I just have this fear like I don't want to be like fake, and I don't know why I would be, but like I don't know. I think about that a lot. I think it comes back to the persona thing. I'm like, do I want a persona, do I need a persona, what does having a persona mean? But at the same time, you should have like a identity as an artist that like people can
understand
and identify. And I think that makes you more like, let's say, like marketable, because like, you know, they can identify like, oh yeah, that's Miaya, you know?
They can describe it. They can talk about it. They can tell other people about it.
Yeah. So yeah, that's just, yeah, a lot of stuff that I don't know. I'm still thinking about. I'm still sure. Like, figuring out.
And there's lots more music coming and lots more chances to.
I think it'll all come together once I have some more music out and like I establish myself mm-hmm. a bit more. Like it'll all come together, I'm sure.
So because stuff is coming together and you are performing at this event that we've mentioned. So it's called MTL Uncovered. It's happening at the end of the month, May 29th. You had a funny story about how exactly you got booked for this event. You want to share that?
Yeah, sure. So I got booked by Arthur, who's like one of the organizers for the event. And I work at a coffee shop and he's one of our regular customers. I was like, you know, I recognize him from the cafe, but I think once I saw him at a music event, I think it was one of the VCA events like last year. Yeah, last year. I saw him there and I was like, oh, aren't you that guy, like my regular from the cafe? And yeah, and then turns out I learned that like he's involved like in the music industry and stuff like that. And now like every time he gets his coffee, you know, maybe we talk a bit about music. He learns that I'm an artist, blah, blah, blah. And he told me like a while back, like when stuff was still all closed, that he did have events in the future that once it reopens, like he'd be like interested in booking me. And I was like, oh my God, that'd be so cool. But I was thinking like, oh, like maybe he's just saying that, you know, because like I doubt myself too sometimes. So I was like, okay, he's, you know. We'll see if that actually happens. But then, yeah. So when stuff reopens, he asked me to be a part of it. And I was like, I was so excited.
Right. So there is this quote by Louis Pasteur, French scientist, who said, chance favors the prepared mind. And it kind of seems like that situation where you were prepared and you had music and you had things going on. And then a bit of luck happened to you where you met someone who was able to book you.
Oh, that's such a nice quote. I never heard that one before. Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
Glad to share. So I guess that's just kind of how you get exposure. It seems just keep going and sometimes stuff will happen.
Like stuff happens like so randomly, like especially at that coffee shop. Like who would have thought? I met a lot of people. Like I met like Lil Waterboy, the guy I'm collabing with. I met him at the coffee shop. It's just so like... Damn, I get all these opportunities from like being the part-time barista, you know?
Right, because it's part of your life and it also feeds the artist side in ways that you wouldn't expect.
Yeah.
And then if you didn't have that, maybe you'd be somewhere else.
Exactly, yeah. So I'm super grateful for that.
So coming back to MTL Uncovered, and we're wrapping this up, what are you looking forward to the most about performing there? And what does it mean to you to be performing at this event that showcases independent Montreal artists?
So the first thing, like, it's similar to the VCA event. So, like, I'll be able to, I'll have my set. So I'll be able to perform all my songs. And then I'm performing a couple of acoustic covers with Arthur.
The organizer of the event.
That's super exciting because I feel like this is, like, oh, I've been booked, like, as an artist. You know, I'm not just, like, some girl who will, like, sing a couple covers. And, like, you know, I feel like I'm really, like, oh, they booked, like, Miaya, mm-hmm. not, like, Mia. So that's super exciting. Another thing, again, it's like a great place to make connections, friends. I'm so excited to like see and meet the other performers
right.
and all of the artists there. And I just think it's just like a super great opportunity for me and for all the other artists there. And I'm very grateful that I got booked for it.
Right. Because we also talked about what it means to be independent, what it means to be working in Montreal, and that the event is kind of a combination of all of that mixed into one night. There's going to be visual art and food vendors and music artists like Mia LaChapelle, also known as Miaya, whom I've had such a pleasure talking to today.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. All right. So, and for everyone listening, we'll see you soon. Bye. Take care.
C is for
cauliflower,
confusion, creation,
pickle, K is for
kitten,
cam,
seat, wait, fan, roof, seat, you, unbearable,
U is for underground,
oh, yeah,
umbrella,
T, trite,
tremendous,
torment,
tire,
C, K,
I can't think of a U one,
T,
F is for famous,
fun, fumble, M is for Montreal.
It's summertime. Time to hit the road. Hit that Trans-Canada Highway. Past the nation's capital, past the sleepy cows, and into the peaceful pastures of Wakefield, Quebec. For the first time ever, Suoni Peralpopolo presents a day of revelatory offerings in an historic farmhouse, Fairburn House, bordering the Gatineau River in Wakefield. Saturday, June 25th, music begins at 3:30 p.m. On the bill, Suoni Heartstoppers, Esmarine, Willie Mitchell, Nada Al-Shazli, and Eliza Caution. For tickets, directions, camping, and all the 411, go to suoniperalpopolo.org. This is a CKUT co-presentation.
Thank you. Good afternoon, you're tuned to Butcher T's Noontime Cuts, hitting every Friday from noon to 2, playing you a wide variety of music just to make your afternoon delight just right. So stay locked into CKT 90.3 FM.
Keep stepping the cut.